I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Coming up in a moment, what came first, sanctuary, the word, or sanctuary, the concept? But first, in a real-life example of sanctuary in France, one place refugees settled in France is the northern port city of Calais, even if the big migrant camp there, known as the jungle, was shut down last year. Adeline Sear has more from Calais.
On a wide and deserted street near Calais seaport, a police van keeps a watchful eye at the entrance of the charity Secours Catholique. In the yard, there are two new portable shower stalls.
Mais ici, c'est le plus gros, c'est de faire leur donner une douche.
Volunteer Pierre Leleu says he shuttles migrant men to this facility so they can shower. Then the young men can get some refreshments and pick some clean clothes in the warehouse.
Mais surtout se reposer, ils se reposent.
And moreover, they can get rest, he says. They moved around all night to try and make it into England, so they are tired. A shower will make them feel refreshed and help them regain some dignity. Today, the police seem to be tolerating this operation, but it wasn't the case earlier. Last month, when the Secours Catholique brought in portable showers, the mayor's office parked a large dumpster in front of the charity's yard to block it from bringing in any more. A court ordered the city to remove the dumpster, but the charity's director, Vincent de Coninck, says the police kept pressuring migrants after that.
Every day they were arresting people, sometimes a group or one man and not another. That's what you call random harassment.
Inside the charity's large warehouse, stocked with piles of neatly folded clothes, Zakaria Adoun is looking for a clean pair of pants. Adoun is from Chad. Like most migrants who came here from Eritrea and Ethiopia, his goal is to reach the United Kingdom. And he keeps trying. Every night, he says. He goes from one gas station to the other, hoping to sneak onto a UK-bound truck. He vows he won't quit until he can meet up with his brother in England. Adoun is only 16 years old. He's one of many youths who turn up in Calais to do the same.
We began seeing migrants returning to Calais in early January, and the number has been growing every day since.
According to their estimates, 400 to 500 migrants are hiding in plain sight in the city, while local authorities say there are only about 100 to 150 people. Now that the mayor's city ordinances restricting crowd gathering and food distributions have been thrown out, humanitarian organizations are relieved they can once again work without constraints. But there's no question people and the region's economy have been impacted by the migrants' presence. Michael Wailly is a cafe manager in Calais' old quarter. He says the presence of migrants chased away many British tourists, but it also brought a new clientele. We had a lot of journalists who came to see the camp, and lots of British volunteers too, he says. He feels the city should help charities manage food distribution rather than attempt to forbid it. Other residents see it differently, though. On the edge of town, Jean-François Gracien runs an equestrian center alongside the site of the former jungle. He points to the brand new wooden fences the French government helped repair on his property after the dismantling of the camp.
Tout a été démonté.
Everything was taken down, he says. Gracien explains that migrants walked across his fields every night to pick any wood that could help them cross the deep water ditches separating the fields. Then they'd get to the gas stations on the other side, where UK-bound trucks are parked.
Donc moi, je passais ici à cheval pour aller en promenade avec les clients. Je pouvais plus.
Gracien says he could no longer take customers horseback riding in the area because the crowds around his property would scare the riders and the horses too. He says he even got a rifle out one day and shot in the air in an attempt to disperse a large group of migrants that had turned up. That got him arrested.
Donc c'est des traumatismes difficiles.
Gracien says those 2 years next to the jungle camp were traumatizing for his family. He says they're barely recovering financially and psychologically. So while he thinks migrants should be helped, he's afraid that allowing charities to feed them may lead to chaos again.
Ça paraît anti-humanitaire, mais...
It seems anti-humanitarian to say this, he says. But if we start doing this again, I'm sure we'll have 10,000 migrants by summer. And then, what do we do? Frédéric van Gansbeek has the same concerns. He's the head of the Calais Business Association. He's worried the government is not doing enough, especially when it comes to determining how many migrants actually are in Calais.
Once again, nobody knows how many there are and where they are, and this is exactly what happened 2 years ago. And all of a sudden, boom, we had 3, 4, 5, 6,000, and there were not enough border police to handle this.
On this cold night, a few charities bring their vans to a soccer stadium back road where a crowd of about 100 men and boys converges. Volunteers hand out hot halal food. They've run out of sleeping bags, but they're still giving out blankets and warm clothes.
I say I need shoes.
Yes.
Laurent Vernet is a volunteer. He says city ordinances or not, nothing will change the fact that Calais is a natural frontier with England and a magnet for people in exile.
To go to the UK, there's not that many passages, and Calais is one of the very few. So it's natural. People will regroup here. It's geography. You can't change that.
For the world, Adeline Cyr, Calais, France.